Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
A double terror attack that took place in Israel this morning, Sunday morning, where at the time of this program, we have the tally of one who was killed, two others severely wounded and fighting for their lives, one of them who is a father of 12 children. Hamas praised the attack in Gaza. They praised this shooting and stabbing attack that took place in the Shamron or Samaria, specifically the area of the inheritance of the tribe of Ephraim. They passed out sweets in the streets of Khan Yunis and utilizing in happiness of the slaughter of the Jews. Hamas then invited everyone to mass rallies in the center of Gaza to celebrate the, quote, operation in Yesha, or Judea and Samaria. And these, my folks, my friends, are our enemies who the world says we need to give land to reward them for their behavior, and make them a state. That's all we need, another terror state in the world. I also am going to be talking about the terrible massacre that took place in New Zealand with 49, I think now it's 50 dead, killed. And I'm going to talk to you also about a conspiracy theorist who put out a video showing why he and others believe that this slaughter that took place is just a hoax. And he's going to say why. He's going to show you proofs that he shows you why he says this was all a hoax. I do not believe it. But I am interested to see what other people are saying. I'm always interested to hear what other people are saying. And I'll present that to you as well today, as well as other comments from former Muslims themselves and what they say about the terror attack that took place in New Zealand. So a lot of news today, and then we'll be speaking with Shifra Hoffman as well later in the show. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to join me on the air. You can agree, you can disagree, and join me in the chat room. It's the orange button on the top of our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Jono Vandoor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And after a double terror attack that took place in Israel Sunday morning, where at the time of this program, one is dead, two others severely wounded, both fighting for their lives, one who is the father of 12 children. Here to give us a rundown of what exactly happened, how it happened, and where it happened, we have joining us Naomi Linder Khan. She is the director of the International Division of Regavim, an Israeli non-governmental organization dedicated to protecting Israel's resources and preserving Israeli sovereignty. Welcome to the show, Naomi Linder Khan.
Thank you.
It's good to have you on. It's sad to have you come on this topic, but why don't you give our listeners a rundown of exactly what happened on Sunday morning here in Israel?
Well, the details that have been published thus far are as follows. At 9:45 this morning, a terrorist came out of an illegal building supply shop close to the Ariel Junction. He stabbed a soldier, who I believe is the fatality that they announced, took his weapon and began shooting at passing cars. From there, he hijacked a car, apparently, but it's not at all clear yet if he hijacked the car or if he had an accomplice, traveled to a nearby junction on the same route at the Gitaya-Visar Junction, and opened fire there as well, wounding more people, moved on to a third spot, and then disappeared into a nearby Arab village, which is presently under siege by the IDF.
Right, and there was gunfire going on there this morning, a gunfight between the two sides.
Correct.
All right, and so where are we standing now?
Well, we're standing now, as you mentioned, with one fatality, two who are fighting for their lives, in addition to other people who are less severely wounded, and they have not announced whether or not they have apprehended the terrorist or whether or not he had an accomplice. What I'd like to stress is that Regavim has been active in this area at the Gitaya-Visar Junction, for example. We have petitioned the government. We've gone to court. We've gone to the civil administration about illegal construction similar to the shop that provided refuge for this terrorist to stage the attack this morning. What we find throughout Judea and Samaria is that when the state doesn't fulfill its obligations and it doesn't enforce the law in small, quote-unquote, small matters, things escalate very, very quickly. And this is exactly what happened here. And the sociologists will call this the theory of broken windows, where if you ignore small infractions of the law, it invites larger and larger infractions of the law. And that's exactly what's happened here in this terrible situation today.
Right. And for anybody who doesn't know the map of Israel, where she's talking about this happening, it's north of Jerusalem. I would say maybe like a 40-minute drive north of Jerusalem, something like that.
That's with traffic. It's probably less than that on a good day.
Okay. Yeah. And this is in the heart of the country, in the center of the country. So tell us about this illegal building that he came out of that was being used as some type of building store that the Arabs opened there.
Well, all around the Ariel Junction, there are, and the Gitaya-Visar Junction, there are more and more of these illegal businesses popping up. And no one enforces the law. It's essentially a no-go zone. The civil administration is responsible, the civil administration being an arm of the Ministry of the Military. It's the military ruler, essentially, of these areas, and it is an expression of Israeli sovereignty. When the state of Israel ignores illegal construction, it essentially cedes its sovereignty, and vacuums don't remain. They're filled with other things, and unfortunately, in this case, they were filled with terror. So we have situations like this throughout Judea and Samaria. We have situations like this in Israel, in the small Israel, as we call it in Hebrew, in the north, in the south. When the government doesn't enforce the law, you essentially don't have government. And right. When you don't have government, you have chaos.
Mm. So basically, the lack of enforcement of the law just emboldens the Arabs there to continue what they're doing because they're prospering from it and there's no consequences to it. And so they continue to do it.
It not only emboldens them to continue to violate the law, it also sets up a situation where we have less and less ability to control what's going on out in the field. We have less and less control
of the
area.
Give an example.
Well, this is a prime example, but we have an example where if you allow construction, we have illegal roads being paved by the Palestinian Authority in Area C, in areas of Judea and Samaria that are under full Israeli control by international law, by international treaty. They pave roads, and then around these roads, they build communities, and they're doing it on IDF firing zones. They're doing it right all around Israeli settlements. They're doing it to choke Israeli communities. And when the government doesn't enforce the law, the facts on the ground are created and it becomes much, much more difficult to reverse them. And then you have these places serving as jumping off grounds for terrorism, for theft, and for more and more expropriation of Jewish land. And that's what we have.
So where
all
does the
Judea and Samaria.
Where does the problem start? I mean, you said that the civil administration is supposed to police, or not police it, but keep the law, keep law and order. Is it that they're not doing their job, or is it that they are doing their job, but the next step, whoever takes over after them that has to enforce it, is not doing it? Where does
The civil administration is not doing its job, and it hasn't been doing its job for a very long time. The civil administration may or may not have a different idea of what its job is. But its job is to enforce the law in Judea and Samaria. The question of why it doesn't do that, that you'll have to ask them.
Explain to our listeners who the civil administration is. Army?
The civil administration. The civil administration is an arm of the Ministry of Defense. It is the army, essentially. And it was supposed to be disbanded when the Palestinian Authority was created by the Oslo Accords. The Palestinians in the areas of Judea and Samaria that are under the Oslo Accords map were supposed to be under full Palestinian Authority control and the Jews under full Israeli control. And that hasn't happened. So at this point, the civil administration continues to exist, and its continued existence is an anomaly, and it's not doing its job. And the vacuum that had been created has allowed all sorts of extremely dangerous things to happen down on the ground.
So go into more detail why they're not doing their job. They're afraid. They don't have legs to stand on. What is it?
They have every leg to stand on. They have every legal leg to stand on. They have every military leg to stand on. They have the ability. What they don't have is the resolve or the policy. The policy between you and me and all the listeners, and it's not a secret, this is a question of policy. If the civil administration believes that eventually this area is going to be given to some Palestinian entity, then they don't bother enforcing the law against Palestinians here. And they only enforce the law against Jews. So you have situations like homes in Netiva Avot that are a few centimeters over the municipal lines, and they knock down the houses, whereas businesses and whole commercial complexes are built illegally by Palestinians, and no one enforces the law. So you have a crazy imbalance that has absolutely no precedent anywhere else in the world, and certainly not throughout Israel.
Let's talk just for a moment about the morale of the IDF, because according to an article that I'm reading here from Hamodia.com, it says here that there's an investigation into the circumstances of Sunday morning's deadly terrorist attack in the Shomron, specifically why soldiers who were present during the attacks did not shoot the terrorist who carried out the attack. According to witnesses, the terrorist grabbed a weapon from an IDF soldier and shot at several vehicles before hijacking a car, which he used to drive to a nearby junction where he shot at more Israelis, killing and wounding them. So what do you have to say about that?
I don't really know. Clearly, I'm not a military expert. What I would like to believe is that the soldiers didn't shoot because there were so many civilians around. Might have caused even more damage than it would have solved. I really don't know. I'm assuming that there will be a very full investigation of the circumstances. These details haven't been released. And again, the terrorists haven't been apprehended. So the entire investigation is still ongoing. That's what I know.
And, you know, ever since the Elor Azaria case, where a soldier shot a terrorist that was already down, but could have been wearing an explosive vest underneath his coat that he wore on a sunny day. And he was so terribly treated in the media. And of course, he was convicted and had to go to jail, etc. It has destroyed a lot of the morale from the IDF soldiers who are afraid to open fire. And here, because they did not open fire, this terrorist was able to get away, was able to shoot more Israelis and make more victims. We have another 60 seconds. What would you like to leave us with?
I'd like to leave the listeners with just a very clear message about equal enforcement of the law. We need to have law, and we need to obey the law, and we need, as a country, we need to insist that the law is enforced against everyone. That means that when illegal construction happens, it's not just illegal construction. It undermines and erodes Israeli sovereignty, And it allows forces that are trying to tear the state of Israel down from the inside to flourish.
Where can
we
people...
have to make sure that stops.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Where can people find Regavim? Where do they go to learn more?
We have a website, Regavim, R-E-G-A-V-I-M. We have a very active Facebook page.
What? Dot com, dot org, what?
.org.
.org, okay.
Regavim.org. We have a Facebook page, Regavim, E-N-G, as in English, because we have one in Hebrew and one in English. We're also on Twitter. And anyone who's interested can contact me directly. I would be happy to share all information that we have.
Thank you. I'm sorry. We have to go. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio, and we talked about the double terror attack that took place in Israel Sunday morning, as at least one person dead, two more critically injured, fighting for their lives, one of them who is a father of 12 children. The Hamas responds to this not by even just remaining silent. Of course, they're not going to give condolences for it. They are the enemies of Israel. They want to drive the Israelis into the sea. They want to take over the entire state of Israel. So does, by the way, the Palestinian Authority with Mahmoud Abbas, who does the pay for slay and encourages terrorists. And this happened in his area there. The Hamas invites everyone to mass rallies in the center of Gaza to celebrate the operation that took place. Operation meaning the terror attack in the Sumerian region, in the tribe of Ephraim region. They also passed out candies to drivers in the street in Khan Yunis, which is in Gaza. These are our so-called peace partners. I want to go to another story right now and another tragedy. And by the way, I'm not even mentioning what happened last week when Tel Aviv was attacked with two missiles from the Gaza Strip, two Iranian-made Fajr missiles. The Hamas says, well, we didn't mean to send it out. It was a mistake. How does a mistake like that happen? And even if it was a mistake, so what? You're responsible that things like that don't happen. How come mistakes never happen when Russia never sent two missiles to the United States, or vice versa? The United States never sent two missiles over to Moscow. How come it's never happened that India sent over by mistake missiles to Pakistan or vice versa? How come this has never happened? I rest my case. In any case, in addition to that mistake that they claim that they made, more rockets were sent over from Gaza into Israel during the night after the attack on Tel Aviv. All right, that's all I'm going to say about that. I want to turn my attention now to the massacre that took place in two Arab mosques, in two Muslim mosques there in New Zealand's Christchurch city there. And I want to say I give condolences to all of the innocent people there. And to give the benefit of the doubt, because we're supposed to give the benefit of the doubt, I would like to imagine that the Muslims who were living there were Muslims who wanted to be a little bit more progressive, who wanted to live in a Western society, and that's why they moved to New Zealand. And I'm hoping that they were peaceful Arabs and not like the Arabs, the Islamics that we are dealing with here in the Gaza Strip and in the Palestinian Authority. I hope that they are not like them. But I wanted to read you some reactions to what happened, because I just want to give you some information. Take what you want, throw away the rest. I'm just here to give you the news. And one of them here is, it's interesting, these mixed reactions. One of them was from an Arab themselves, along with a conspiracy theorist, The Arab, who I'm going to read you approximately what they were saying on their Facebook page, which has now been, by the way, removed for whatever reason. This was from an Arab who converted out of Islam to Christianity. She was from Saudi Arabia. She was in, put into a forced marriage. She was forced to wear the habaya, the hijab, the abaya, sorry, and the hijab and the whole costume, the whole thing to prevent her from seeing anything and anyone seeing her. She escaped from this and she lives today in the West. And her reaction was basically that... let me just read what it says here. She can't understand why people feel sorry about the Muslims that were killed in New Zealand. She says it is the, and I'm not quoting her, by the way, but this is approximately what she said because, again, she removed it from her page. It is the jihad, the holy war, according to the Quran. Therefore, she says, we should be happy that they joined Allah and Muhammad up in paradise. That's what every Muslim wants for themselves, martyrdom and paradise in the next world. And she said that the invasion of the West by Islam is going on and nobody cares. And then she then quoted something in Arabic from the Quran, which I don't know what that was, but that's basically her reaction. So one person here who doesn't have much sympathy for what happened in... Look, she comes from that society. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. I'm just presenting it to you. You can agree with her. You cannot agree with her. And I want to tell you about this hoax. This is kind of interesting. And if anybody wants to see this video, write me, Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And I will send you the link so you can watch it yourself. And he went through the video from the killer. And he said that the whole massacre that took place there was a hoax. And he continues to try to prove his theory by showing you as the video of the killing was taking place. He shows you. And some of his points, by the way, were feasible. And that's what makes conspiracy theories so interesting, because you have to ask yourself questions. They bring up some very good questions. That doesn't mean that they're right. I do not believe that this was a hoax. I do not believe this was a conspiracy theory. I believe that there were bodies and that these bodies had names. And if the bodies have names, that these were real people. But just to give you an idea of what he's saying, he presents, number one, he says the guy was wearing a GoPro camera on his head. And these GoPro cameras are of excellent quality, yet the footage that we see in this video is not sharp at all, and it's even blurry, so you can't really tell what you're seeing clearly. And I'm saying that to answer his presentation that, you know, because of this, it was a hoax, because GoPro would have a perfect picture. I say that when these things are put up on live on the internet, they lose quality. And that's why this was more blurry. And also he's moving. And when you move and you're on a live stream on the internet, things can also lose their quality. That's number one. We go on here. He says that there was no blood on the walls. And he says, if you're shooting somebody, there would be blood splattered everywhere. And that's an interesting thing. I looked at the video and I watched and he was right. I did not see blood splattered on the walls. I don't have an answer for that. But I believe this was a hoax, though. He also says, which was very interesting, he says there were no bullet holes in the walls. You would think when he's spraying his machine gun that there would be bullet holes in the walls, and yet none could be seen. And he also presents that little, if any, blood was seen, and you had 50 dead people and more injured. Why wasn't there blood everywhere like you would expect to see in a massacre? In fact, I did see blood. There was a puddle of blood as he was walking in the second time, probably even the first time, but the second time there was a definite puddle of blood there as he was walking back into the mosque. But you would think that there would be a lot more blood, especially where all the bodies were piled. You didn't see blood anywhere. I thought that was very interesting. And he also shows at the very end of his video how one guy is holding, he's lying on the ground as if, that's what he says, as if he's a victim. And yet he's got his arm up in the air holding his cell phone. I don't know if he's taking a selfie. But I would imagine that he's trying to call for help. But it was an interesting video. I don't know if it's even worth seeing, but if anybody's interested, I share information and you can write me and I'll send that video to you. Which, by the way, reminds me of something I've been watching. I'll tell you in just a moment, but first let's go to a caller. We have Bill joining us from England. Shalom, Bill. What's your comment or question?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is about if anybody who doesn't think that some of these shootings are set up on purpose by the powers that be, the bankers, should look at crisis actors on YouTube where the same faces keep popping up at every shooting.
Okay, so then you're saying that you do believe that this was a hoax and that this was all staged.
I believe the world is controlled by the Nephilim. They control the Illuminati, the Freemasons, the Zionists, the Bilderbergs, the CFR, the church, the banks, the media. They control all groups and they're turning us against each other. The human race needs to be united, not divided.
Bill, how do you think that if you have the Illuminati and you have the CFR, that the Jews are also involved in this when the Jews are the victims? The Jews went through the Holocaust.
They use every organization going. Some of the best success they've had is with the Zionists. Mm-hmm. And that little lad, Nathan, who said he died for 15 minutes and he said that he saw America go against Israel. Well, twice in my life, God has appeared to me, and I can understand the Bible, and there's verses that does say he shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord. Well, the eagle is the U.S. emblem. God is coming very, very soon, and it will come in Trump's presidency. Trump is going to lead America against the nations, against Israel.
So you're saying that Trump is the Savior, or Trump is your Antichrist?
No, I don't think he's my... I don't think Christ was the Messiah. I think if you read, Deuteronomy says, God shall put a yoke upon our neck for not keeping the laws and the commandments. And then in Isaiah, he says,
you know what, Bill, I would love for you to call back.
The anointing.
Bill, we've run out of time. The music is coming on. I would love for you to call back. On another show, maybe tomorrow if I don't have a guest and we can talk. This is going to be some show when I speak with you. All right, we have to go. We're having Shifra Hoffman on next, and I didn't get to say what I wanted to say either on this segment. Next time.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
We live in the age of information, but not inspiration. If you're like me, you're looking to be inspired, to reach higher, to connect more, and to grow. Well, if you want to get warm, you need to stand close to the fire. And if you want to catch fire, you need to stand close enough to get hit by the sparks. Join me, Penina Taylor, as we walk with people who have embarked on a spiritual journey towards Torah. We'll uncover what started them on their journey and what truths they discovered along the way. So prepare to be inspired as we take a leap of faith every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio, and it is time for our Jewish activism segment with Shifra Hoffman. Shifra is from victimsofarabterror.com. I don't have my notes in front of me, Shifra. And I had a lot of work today to do before the show. And she's the director of shuva.net. Did I get that right, Shifra?
You got it right.
Victimsofarabterror.com.
You're okay. A rightist, not a leftist.
Yes. You know, there's a right wing and the wrong wing, right? Wink. Wink to everybody. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, as I always say, thank you, dear God. Blessed is your holy name to giving us that one land of Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, which God gave to Abraham and promised all generations that this land is ours. No other land do we claim, just one. On the other hand, the Arabs have 22 countries. So if they don't want to sit quietly here, like the Torah says, they have rights, but not through bullets or through ballots. As we see every day, there's another murder, another wounding, and the world is silent because it seems Jews are used to it. Well, I'm not used to it, and those who are normal are not used to it. And the message is, if they can't live here quietly like another country, and those know, people who know that they lived in Arab lands, they also were treated miserably. We say, as Rabbi Meir Kahane, the great leader, and now they've resurrected him after 30 years saying he was right. But when he said they must go, if they don't sit quietly, nobody wanted him to be in the Knesset. They all left there when he spoke. It's ridiculous what is happening in the elections. They want to be a captain. The ship is sinking, and everybody wants to be the captain.
Right. You wanted to talk about a New York couple.
Right. Well, you know what? If you need further proof that I said, you know, they can quote me. I don't charge for quotations. As much as the medical science has advanced, they haven't found the cure for stupidity. That is the way of this couple from New York. I think his name is Gerson. They gave $5 million to the missionaries in Africa, and they have bleeding hearts for the poor Africans who have, of course, they have, Jesse Jackson didn't give money. I don't think Obama gave money. But the Jew gave $5 million. And, of course, we are bound by the Torah that you're not allowed to support another faith. We are Jews, and we're proud of it. So $5 million they gave his wife. He said his wife is a rabbi. That's another one. A rabbi is a man from the Torah. But whatever they want to call themselves, we are absolutely outraged that there are so many poor Jews in Israel and around the world living in sub-poverty conditions. They don't rate the kind of donation that this couple gave. And I say to them, why don't you learn who you are before you go and give your money?
All right. And I know that a lot of people feel that Shifra is very harsh. She's opinionated, but everybody has a right to their own opinion. If you agree, disagree, feel free to call into the show. You can weigh in on the issue. Is unbridled free speech a democratic right or a dangerous disaster?
Okay. Well, for a while now, I've been wanting to write an article, which I hope I will do, God willing, soon. Why should free speech, everything goes when the whistle blows, be allowed? When we were growing up, I, of course, maybe I'm a little bit older than you, Tamar, but they said, loose lips sink ships. Loose lips sink ships. What does that mean? That even when there isn't a war, you can't just go and threaten people. You can't call the President of the United States the F-word, like this Muslim woman that they led into Congress did. You can't go and excoriate Jews day and night. That's free speech. That's anti-Semitism. And they have to put a stop to it. Just as they call it a hate act when somebody is murdered, they should put a stop to this unbridled free speech which leads to the murder.
You know, it's interesting, this non-Jewish American that I saw on Facebook posted a meme that said something like, if Tlaib can say that my president is an MF, then I can call their prophet Muhammad, anything I darn well please. It was
of course, but you know, it doesn't play that way. When Jews or good Christians who know the truth, and there are probably many, I guess, mail from people who are not Jewish saying, God bless you, color kavod, you know, many more power to you. You don't have to be Jewish to understand that you have the right to life. Right to life does not only mean abortion, or no abortions, rather. Right to life means that when God gives you life, you have a right to live it to the fullest, and nobody should take it from you. On the other hand, when somebody does murder you, you certainly have the right to take his life.
When someone comes to try to murder you. Yes, and in fact, that's a directive in the Torah. If someone comes to kill you, you are commanded to kill him first.
Well, I'm sorry to say that all the people who are running for election of all of them, except Otzma Yehudi, which they made into a, they denigrated the party of Rabbi Kahana of blessed memory. They are the only ones who would do something meaningful to stop the terror, because they don't want to be in the Knesset just for self-aggrandizement. They want to see that terror should stop. All the others are just hot air. And Bibi, our prime minister, I bristle when I hear him say, we are fighting the terror. You're fighting each other for the election, not the terror.
I believe that there was a headline on Arut Sheva today showing that Prime Minister Netanyahu was stating that, let me see if I can just find it here, I am certain we will capture the terrorists. And I'm sure he's
in such trepidation. They'll give him a vacation in prison, telephones, conjugal visits, and I think they still give out certificates. They can learn like in the university, so when they get out, they can teach children about the Muhammad.
Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is that, so what? I mean, of course they have to capture the terrorists. That's the just thing to do. But it doesn't bring back the lives that he stole. It doesn't make justice in the world. It's not a tit for tat. Okay, well, if they do something, then we're gonna arrest them and bring justice. That's not justice, because they shouldn't be doing this in the first place, and they're destroying the lives of our citizens. And this is what's incomprehensible, that he can say that he thinks he's going to quell us, he's going to make us feel better by saying that I'm certain we're going to capture the terrorists, when this shouldn't be happening in the first place. And people are complaining there's no security in Israel today. The Arabs can shoot at us whenever they want. They can shoot at Tel Aviv with missiles. They can shoot at our settlements, our resettlements in Gaza, on the Gaza border. They can they can stab us when they want. They can open terrorist attacks against us. They call the shots. This is not a secure Israel.
We know that, Tabar, but it didn't sink into our leadership. Our leadership seems to have one goal, to be the prime minister or the crime minister, as my friend Sylvia Mandelbaum of blessed memory used to call the prime minister. No country in the world allows such a thing. God in his mercy gave us an army, weapons, our land. We can clean the mouth, clean the swamp, as Trump says. But no, they're wondering what the world will say. What does the world always say? They give us monuments. I'm sick of it. I don't need a monument. I need a strong, a secure land of Israel, which the Almighty gave to the Jewish people.
Amen. We should be strong, and we should have law and order and justice for everybody here. Shifra, how do you want to end your segment with us
today?
Well,
I think there was another, for the moment, it slipped my mind. There was another...
Let me go back to my notes, okay. And I will tell you what it was. A Purim lesson for Jews, choosing human or Haman rights.
Purim, the very happy holiday is coming. And what people who say they don't believe that God exists, God forbid, he's there, he's looking in, and he saw what was happening in the days of Haman. Haman was the Hitler of his day, and because Mordechai did not bow to him, he was a Jew, because you're not allowed to bow to a human being, only to God, so he wanted to destroy every single Jew. Well, God pulled a number on him. He was destroyed in the end, and his sons were hung in the square, 10 of his sons. And I say to the leftists of today, you know, you don't have to get drunk on Purim, the Jewish leftists. Why? Because you don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai, even when it's not Purim.
All right, Shifra, what are you doing for the Purim holiday? Are you dressing up in a costume?
Well, I'm not so... I used to do that, but, you know, right now I spend every waking minute trying to influence Jews to come home. There's a terrible anti-Semitism going in America and other places. If you stay there, as I said a million times, and Tamar, I know you quoted it too, if you are complaining about anti-Semitism, Jew hatred, and there is, if you want to remain, don't complain. Don't expect that you're going to have just a magic wand that's going to lift you up. Now is the time to come. Proudly take your property or take whatever money you have, or even if you have no money, just come with faith. That's the main thing. And remember the story of Purim. As much as they plan against us, they can plot their plots and plan their plans. God Almighty will see that the Jews survive, because he is our God and we are called by his name.
As I say, man plans and God laughs. Shifra Hoffman, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah,
appreciate
please,
having you
tell
on.
Them they can call me or they can write to me at HoffmanShifra@gmail.com.
Amen. And say hello to Valerie. Valerie is one of our listeners of Israel News Talk Radio, and she came to Israel, and she's visiting today with Shifra at her home in Jerusalem. And a big shout out to Valerie.
Thank you so much, Tamar.
Thank you, Valerie, for coming to visit Israel. And all of you listening, whether you're Jewish or not, should come and visit Israel. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Okay.
And we're signing off now. I want to leave you with this. Shifra was talking about how important it is to make Aliyah. And one of our listeners also wrote me, his name is Hal. And Hal said, when you have a guest like Shifra that promotes Aliyah, it would be nice if they addressed common issues. For me, I don't speak much Hebrew. How much of an issue would that be in terms of employment or everyday dealings like shopping, dealing with governments, etc.? So my answer to you in the 15 seconds I have is you come anyway. You'll learn whatever Hebrew you can learn. Most Israelis know English. It'll be a struggle, but you'll be doing the right thing. You will be making friends here that are really friends. Everything you do here has an impact. You're not just existing, but you're living and you're contributing and you're making a difference. And remember, in Germany in the 1930s, people didn't care if they spoke Hebrew or didn't speak Hebrew. They wanted to get out and they wanted to be able to survive. And it's looking bad in the world today. Come home to Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.